The following message is entitled Millennial Program 2001 and is given by Terry Cook.
Our guest this evening is Mr. Terry Cook, but I want to read something from Forbes magazine, September 22nd, 1997, really just a little over a month old, and it's talking about passive tracking and active tracking and some of the companies that can track human beings here in America. And here's what the article says. Get ready for the surveillance society. It'll make things tougher for killers, rapists, cheating husbands, and the bad guys in general. It will also play hell with your privacy and be very convenient for potential dictators. Now these are not my remarks. These are the remarks coming out of Forbes magazine. No Place to Hide by Anne Marsh. Typical American Family, 2008. Above their home, foot-long robot airplanes patrol several hundred feet up on the lookout for criminals and even casual pot smokers. Both family cars are equipped with global positioning satellite receivers and locator beacons. And now remember, they're talking about what they anticipate 2008. Devices pinned to the kids' shirts sound an alarm if they wander too close to the street. Mom and Dad carry cellular telephones that double as personal locators that can find them anywhere on the planet. The parents, the kids, the dogs all have microchips under their skin with ID and medical data. There's lively debate as to whether surveillance technology will bring on Orwell's 1984, making us all slaves of the state, or constitute a giant step towards human freedom. Either way, the damn thing is practically here. Let the chips fall where they may. Terry, how are you doing tonight?
Stan, I'll tell you what. When I discovered that article the other night on the internet, I nearly fell off my chair here in my office. I'm doing just fine, sir, and it's a pleasure to be back on your program.
Well, for our listeners who don't know who Terry Cook is, Terry is a retired homicide detective from... you were in homicide, weren't you?
I handled a few murders, but I wasn't actually homicide detective.
He was a deputy sheriff in Southern California for many years, and he's retired from that. But he's best known for his writings on the Mark of the New World Order. We carry his video, The Mark of the New World Order, and we probably ought to be carrying his book as well. But this evening, if you need to get that, we'll let you order that through Terry himself. But Terry has really been out there in the forefront documenting what these people on the other side really intend. And, of course, as Christians, we hear about the time will come when we will neither buy nor sell, lest we wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name, 666. And, of course, they're talking about a cashless society, and we believe, and I think Terry does, that this is going to be a microchip implanted somewhere in the body, perhaps on the back of the wrist, on the forehead. And people say, oh, that's just coincidence. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't coincidence. We are playing out a script that was written over 2,000 years ago, or written at least 2,000 years ago, part of it far more than that. As we move towards the end of recorded time, the coming of the new millennium, the coming of the world government, the world dictator, and horrible, horrible persecution of Christians throughout the world.
Amen.
Terry, what says, do you have anything new on the Lucent organization? You know, my producer in the afternoon and the gentleman who does our programs, Dave Wilson, I got something from AT&T, bought an AT&T telephone in there. In the AT&T telephone, a little pamphlet was something about Lucent Corporation. He had a picture of this fiery red circle. Yes. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that? That's the most incredible thing. Lucent, that has a sort of a similarity to Lucifer or light. Mm-hmm. What's that all about?
Well, essentially it means the same thing, and that's a L-U-C, a good word for Lucifer, as well as Lucent, as well as Lucid, the international ID system that's coming, as well as Lucas. And so we could play off a number of words off of Lucifer, but the bottom line is simply this, that Lucifer, or L-U-C, luce, comes from the Latin root word lux, L-U-X, meaning light-bearing. So, you know, before the fall, Lucifer was the light-bearer in heaven. He was the choir leader for the Lord. And He was so beautiful and so powerful, so intelligent, he thought he should be God. And because of this arrogance and pride, he was thrown out of heaven and thereafter was renamed Satan. So his name Lucifer was before the fall, and Satan was obviously after the fall. And this is why many of the men who are doing the New World Order to us call themselves Luciferians rather than Satanists.
Right.
They want nothing to do with the term Satanists at all, Stan. They call themselves Luciferians, the light-bearing worshippers.
Absolutely. In fact, I think the important thing is that Lucent Corporation is an offshoot of AT&T. Now, most people who listen to Christian radio know that AT&T is financing the homosexual movement, Planned Parenthood, all the things on the wrong side. And why would a big corporation like that be supporting all the things that the Luciferians in the world are supporting? And then why would they simply have an organization formed out of AT&T called Lucent, Lucent Corporation?
Well,
is it Lucent or Lucid?
It's Lucent.
Lucent, I thought so, right.
L-U-C-N-T, Lucent
right.
Technology.
Right, and they even have something called Project Inferno. And why don't you tell the people about that meaning of that red fiery circle, and sort of over on the left side about 9 o'clock, you see it looks a little irregular. It's a little widened from the rest of the circle.
Well, first, if we research AT&T and do a little background history on them, we'll soon discover, if we have a copy of the Council on Foreign Relations corporate membership list, we'll soon discover that AT&T is none other than a corporate member in the New World Order Planning Organization in New York City in Manhattan. Now, I've actually been there and visited the place myself.
Oh, 56 East 68th Street,
yeah,
there in New York.
That's right. I've actually been there, and it's not too far from the Empire State Building, not too far from the United Nations and so on. And I photographed the place and got my latest copy of their membership list about a year ago. Now, we turn to the corporate page, corporate membership page, and we find AT&T is among several other corporations as a corporate member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So now, that puts it into better perspective.
Well, you know, I think, Terry, the one thing that all the researchers have missed, and only really became apparent to me about 6 to 9 months ago, was that the origins of the Council on Foreign Relations came from the occult. And maybe I can send you some of my material, mm-hmm, going into the fact that, I mean, the man who inspired Cecil Rhodes was a man named Ruskin, and actually on his gravestone there's a swastika. He was deeply involved with the occult. Rhodes himself was into homosexuality. How much involved even with the occult it was, I don't know, but certainly the people attracted to his cause, whether it was William Stead or Balfour,
right,
or the men who joined the Society for Psychical Research, all of these were occultists, and they were all fascinated with this idea of creating a world government, which has always been the goal of Lucifer, the one world government under his rule.
Right, and Colonel Mandel House,
right,
basically an alter ego of World War One president,
Woodrow Wilson, right.
Woodrow Wilson was basically a socialist, and Colonel Mandel House was a communist.
Yeah, but he was also an occultist. That's the part that people have missed. He was deeply involved with the occult, and that's the underlying thread about all of this.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So let's talk about Lucent.
Well, let's talk about Lucent. I think that's fascinating.
It was one of the largest initial public offerings ever made in Wall Street, on Wall Street. So it was an incredibly big spinoff from AT&T. Now, they studied the creation of this name very, very carefully before they named it Lucent. And I have a history right from their company, right from their original webpage site, of why they chose the name and so forth. We don't have a lot of time to get into these kinds of details.
Well, give us a few details, because I think that would be fascinating. Why did they, of all the names in the entire world, why did this offshoot of AT&T having to do with biotechnology and identification technology and communication, why did they pick the name Lucent?
Well, essentially, Lucent Technologies had been for years called Bell Labs. And Bell Labs was renamed, if you will, Lucent Technology. It took the name because it was a thought and
Light bearing. Lucifer, the light bearer.
Yeah, and of course, in order to have clear thought, you must recognize that Lucifer is God.
Well, of course, they're not quite that blatant, though.
No,
what they
of course
say.
Not.
Although, if you read Albert Pike, you know, in his discussions on the real who was the light bearer. He will tell you, of course, Lucifer was the light bearer.
And he says, doubt it not.
Doubt it not. The son of the morning, you know, the prince of darkness, but also the light bearer. That seems to be a contradiction, but it's really not. They're the son of the morning and the prince of darkness and the angel of light, they're all one and the same.
That's right. Now, when they created their original webpage site, Stan, and it no longer exists, at least I can't find it on the internet any longer, but when they created their original webpage site, if you punched into your browser Lucent Technologies and punched enter, soon thereafter you noticed that the flames of hell would come up on your screen and burn like an inferno.
Really?
Yeah. Right across the screen, you know, just burning flames of hell. Now, that's a very unusual way to start a company, you know?
Right. What was Project Inferno?
Well, I guess they caught a lot of heat from that webpage site.
It's just too flagrant, you know, because there might be some people out there who would actually see that and see the connection between Lucent and Lucifer
right.
and the flames of hell and Project Inferno.
Well, that's it. And there's a coincidence there. You know, it's a coincidence to naming a company Lucent. And of course, Lucent means a lot of things, and you can define it from the dictionary as meaning a lot of secular things, and you can say, without any further information, you can say, well, you Christians are nuts, because Lucent could mean a lot of things.
Sure know? Could.
It doesn't necessarily convey occultism. However, now let's get into the programs they created after starting Lucent. I'm laughing because it's so obvious, or at least it should be so obvious to Christians what's going on, and it isn't. And, you know, it's only obvious to those who really want to understand the truth.
Now, basically, they talk about how they want to have more efficient access to technology mm-hmm. and information.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're heavily involved in everything you can possibly imagine. The global Internet, they're redesigning the Internet. It's called now Internet 2 and NGI, Next Generation Internet. And Clinton has already signed a bill to inject $500 million of additional cash into creating better servers for the Internet. And we could spend a lot of time on that, and I'm writing a whole book on it. Okay, so stand by for that around March or April, hopefully.
We'll look forward to that.
But here's the deal on Lucent. They created four new things initially. And one of the things was a whole new operating system. They call it OS. Now, this operating system is really great because heretofore we've had too many different operating systems that would not talk to one another. Now, we're hearing a lot today about this new Java program and how IBM is sucking Java into their organization to use Java to communicate with other programs. And, of course, Java is a great program in that regard, and that's why it's gaining so much notoriety. It will actually let Mac computers talk to IBM computers and so forth. It has a common language, but here's the difference. Java is a software program, and Inferno by Lucent is a whole new operating system. Okay? Now, in other words, the whole new operating system called Inferno, which means hell, just look it up in your dictionary. I mean, you don't have to be a crazy Christian like some people call us, Stan. You just look it up in your dictionary, folks. Look it up in your thesaurus. Look it up in anything you want. Encyclopedia, Inferno means hell.
Right.
It's that simple. There's no argument. And the dictionaries don't argue about it either. So this whole new operating system is going to be absolutely revolutionary, Stan. It's going to be tremendous. And so from a technological point of view, it's a great idea here that Lucifer's had, is to make all these computers easily talk to one another without regard to their specific operating system that heretofore has caused all kinds of communication problems. In other words, a Mac computer can't talk to an IBM computer because
right.
they have different operating systems. And I prefer Mac computers over IBM because they work better, but there are so many limitations to Macs that I'm using an IBM. So, isn't it interesting that this Inferno program is far superior to Java because it's a whole new operating system rather than just a software program? Now, in addition to that, they created another phase of the Inferno. And all these things tie together to make Inferno work good. So under Inferno, we find that they have another program called Limbo.
That has a certain ecclesiastic significance, a certain theological significance, too, at least as far as the...
Well, the only thing most people know about the term limbo is back in the 60s, it used to be some kind of a dance, you know, where you'd bend over backwards and try to get under a stick a couple of people were holding on the sideline.
And what is it? This was something that had to do with Catholic theology or what?
The bottom line in all this is that limbo, if you look that word up in the dictionary, Stan, that word too means hell. And yes, it was associated kind of like a purgatory.
Purgatory, right.
In Catholicism, where... In Catholicism.
Catholicism,
where,
right.
Yeah, I said Catholicism. I was thinking about the catechism. But in Catholicism, they used to talk about, they still do talk about a purgatory, where
right.
you go and you, you know, work out your karma, if you will. Sit there and get things right for a while before you went either way, heaven or hell.
Right.
So limbo was a place where you awaited something.
Okay.
Waited for something, but... Essentially, limbo also means hell, and if you look that word up in the dictionary, it means hell.
All right, well, at least they're consistent.
But
they figure that most people are too dumb to really put this all together. So
exactly.
What does the limbo system do?
Well, it helps. It's actually a program. Inferno is an operating system, and limbo is a program that works within the Inferno operating system.
I see.
Now, another protocol that makes all this stuff work better is called Styx. S-T-Y-X. And that is a Greek mythological term meaning the river of hell. So if you look the word S-T-Y-X in any encyclopedia of mythology,
right.
You'll soon find that the term is defined as the river of hell in mythology. Now, in addition to that, there's another one that few people have caught that I just found about 3 weeks ago. I was doing some research on the internet, and there's a fourth aspect of Inferno, Limbo, and Styx now, and it's called DIS, D-I-S. Now, no one's addressed this yet. Very few people have discovered. I don't think anybody's discovered except me. I could be wrong, but I was wondering, well, all these other terms mean hell, so... What's this DIS, D-I-S thing? It's a part of it, so it too must mean hell. And after 4 or 5 hours of research in occultic literature, I finally found that the term DIS, D-I-S, actually has two words to it, dispeter. Okay, and the term dispeter means goddess in mythology.
Well, they, you know...
So the god of hell!
They play these little games, knowing full well that most people could never believe anything could be this totally diabolic.
Well, even if they find out or care to look up these meanings, they'll laugh it off as something that isn't serious when indeed it is. You know, there is an occultic message being conveyed there that Lucent Technologies is going to be in the middle of... All of these are revolutionary, innovative things that are happening to our telecommunication systems and the internet. Lucent is right there in the middle of redesigning the internet, if you will, and the Inferno system will be used on the new next generation internet and Internet 2 to make it work better and to make it talk to everybody without regard to their operating system.
My producer is a Catholic. And he said he was taught that limbo was not a place of punishment, but rather a place reserved for infants who had never sinned. So it's sort of a, you know, it's a... it has
holding
to,
tank.
Right, sort of a holding tank, a place where people or children, those who had never had an opportunity for accountability, would go. And I think that's who died unbaptized. So they were children who had died unbaptized. But it's fascinating that they would pick all of these names... out of all the possible names in the
right.
in the universe, all of these dealing with these really religious concepts, and because this whole thing is a religious or spiritual battle, as you well know. Of course, I don't have to tell you that, Larry. Terry, you're right in the front lines of this incredible, incredible story.
Well, I just completed a brand new book I've been working on for 2 years. You know, as soon as I completed Mark of the New World Order, which is only about a year and a half old now, I decided that I would investigate the probability that there is a master beast computer system somewhere on planet Earth. Now, I had heard the rumors, of course, as you have heard over the past few years, Stan, that this beast computer system exists in Luxembourg, you know, or somewhere over there, Brussels, Belgium, Luxembourg, somewhere in the EC community.
Right.
Well, I tried to run that down, and guess what I learned?
What did you learn?
I learned that, indeed, there is a computer system over there that's controlled by the EC and NATO, and it's a huge supercomputer database facility, but on a scale of 1 to 200, it's only 194 relative to the National Security Agency at Fort Meade, Maryland, which is the number one most sophisticated supercomputer database center in the world on this entire planet.
Well, of course, Terry, this ties into this whole incredible scenario. You know, for the last 50 years, we've been fighting those terrible communists, and to be able to fight communists, we had to have spy satellites. We had to develop tremendous technology so we could take pictures and videos from space so we could watch those nasty communists. And of course, now we have this tremendous technology, most of it coordinated through the National Security Agency, which is probably the single most secret organization, far more secret than the front group out there that's the CIA. And they now have the technology to watch every single one of us, to monitor our cars, increasingly to really track us, to be able to take pictures of us, to know everything we do, everything we buy, every telephone call we make. All of this is recorded on computer disks somewhere and all accessible to the National Security Agency,
right,
set up supposedly to fight communism.
Right. It is the largest computer database center in the world, and the NSA was directly behind the development of the corporations who now manufacture the computers in the first place.
Really?
Now manufacture them. In other words, without the National Security Agency's $29 billion a year in secret black project funding from the Department of Defense, by the way, they're owned by the Department of Defense, without that money, Cray Cutic Computers wouldn't exist, IBM wouldn't exist, etc., etc., Raytheon, you could go on all night. But essentially, NSA even admits it in their own documentation that they participated in funding very quietly behind the scenes the development of the entire computer industry.
And of course this all ties into the internet. In fact, wasn't the internet actually supposedly designed by the military? But the military and NSA and all of these things really interlocked together in this whole Luciferian scheme as a vehicle that would be ultimately used to control every aspect of human endeavor.
And that's what most people have a difficult time understanding. I'm telling you, brother, the research I have just completed in order to complete my 470-page book called Big Brother NSA and Its Little Brothers, the National Security Agency's Global 666 Beast Computer Network, that research has conveyed in my mind, has caused me to conclude and deduce that there is a spiritual basis behind this. Lucifer's in control of the NSA, and that the NSA is going to be essentially Lucifer's database center.
Well, now, I certainly would not in any way disagree with you, but I want you to prove to me, I'm a skeptic, you see, and I don't know anything about this. How can you say that, let's just sort of, for the sake of the listeners out there, why do you say this is Lucifer's approach to things? After all, Lucifer is an abstract concept. It's a theological concept. It doesn't have anything to do with the real world we live in, does it?
Well, sure it does. That's a good question, because I too was startled after I discovered their insignia and began breaking down the Masonic occultic representations conveyed by their insignia, the symbol that represents the NSA. And it's
now,
totally
occultic. What is the symbol that represents it? Was that one of the things you said to me?
Uh-huh. The insignia of the NSA essentially means the same thing as the burning fire circle of Lucent Technology. It means that Lucifer is eternal, and so the circles that we often see associated with occultism, we often see a circle with a dot in the center.
Right.
That means the eternal nature of Lucifer. And then the eagle that's in the middle of most of our national insignias, such as on the back of the dollar bill, we have the national insignia, one side of which is a pyramid and the other side is an eagle.
Right.
And that's called the Great Seal of the United States. Well, that eagle isn't really an eagle. And you can get a history book from the government from the State Department on the whole history of the Great Seal of the United States.
And it was originally a phoenix, wasn't it?
It was originally a phoenix bird, which is an occultic, satanic bird.
Right. And the old idea of the phoenix coming back from the ashes. But the phoenix was this mystical bird of antiquity, never existed in real life, but it all has to do with mysticism. Well, I think you're one of the few people I've ever run into who really understood the origin of the Great Seal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've studied it very carefully. In fact, what I do in my Big Brother NSA book that Grant Jeffrey will be publishing in Canada here in the next 2 months, and hopefully it'll be available in January, February.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you're going with Grant, because he is, you know, an outstanding, scholar, and certainly has an excellent reputation in the distribution system.
I'm telling you, Grant is one of the finest men I've met in this business, and I haven't heard anybody who's had anything to say in a negative way about Grant, because he's just a man of high integrity.
Now, for the listener out there who doesn't know who Grant Jeffries is, he's written one of my favorite books called The Signature of God, that goes into the Bible codes that are actually put into the Bible thousands and thousands of years ago, that would, as at this time in history, because of computer technology and availability, show us that these were really divinely inspired, because there are all these hidden messages. In other words, the name of Jesus Christ you can find repeated over and over and over again within the prophetic scriptures. And no way anybody could have written that at that time with this knowledge there. And I won't go into how you find this, but Grant Jeffrey's done the most amazing job of documenting this, really not much of it from his own work, but from the work of Hebrew scholars who stumbled across this sequential sequencing within the Old Testament. And of course, they weren't looking for Jesus, they were looking for other things that would be applicable to Jewish history. And of course, when the Christians got hold of it and were able to utilize the same computer technology, they began looking for the word Yahweh, and there it was. And of course, the Jewish scholars don't know what to do with that, because now they were justifying the authenticity of the Old Testament scriptures. And here the Christians have turned this thing around and saying that the Old Testament tries that Jesus is the Messiah.
And that's Yeshua.
Yeshua, right.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Right. Okay, very good. I never can quite pronounce that. Yeshua.
Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is the Messiah.
Okay, fine. And for our listeners, you may very well want to get the book and you call us and tell you how to get it. But I'm so glad that's going to be, and of course I expect to get a copy of that so we can do some programs. And now, you know, we're on 18 different stations, Terry.
Oh, terrific.
And of course this program, this thing is simply heard here and on two stations in the East, and then this will probably be one of our tapes of the month club, something of that sort. And we'll put it in a tape set so that people can actually get this and listen to it. And if you don't mind, this is how I help to get the information out.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Of course, we'll get your telephone number out, and so this will be certainly magnified many times for the listening audience we have this evening. But how soon will the book be out?
I should have it I already sent it to Grant registered mail, so he should be receiving it sometime this week, and hopefully we'll have it have the artwork done and for the cover and have it all ready in January.
Okay, fine. Well,
I have another new book, Harvest House. I'm signing a contract with Harvest House for another new book called American Identity Crisis. I think I told you about that last time.
No, it haven't, but it sounds like you've been awfully busy since we talked before. And I'm going to ask you to hang on here.
Okay.
This is the time when we have to take our break. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the Lucent concept? Are they going to fall into biochips? Are they going to get into any more of the identification of the individual?
Well, actually, they're involved in pretty much everything but that. My investigations to date have not determined that Lucent is directly involved in biochips. Really, that's a very specialized area of expertise, and there are just a few companies into that specific identification technology.
Let me comment on something that you sent me, and I'm going to let you elaborate on
sure.
it. But Shell Oil now has a microchip that will be on your keychain, and as you approach the gas pump, why don't you tell them about how that works? I mean, that to me is one of the most scary things I've ever heard.
Oh, this is really getting down to the nitty gritty now.
Okay.
Shell Oil just started a new so-called Easy Pay.
This is really easy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, gas pump activation program. And I'll tell you, you're going to take gas on this one, folks. I want you to know. and get all pumped up for it, because here's what's about to happen. Shell Oil is using a microchip that isn't going to win out in the long term, in my opinion, Stan. Mobil Oil, Rockefeller Company, has the better deal. Now, Mobil Oil has a new program called Speed Pass. You know, you can speedily pass through your gas pump by simply waving a transponder that's attached to your keychain by the front of the pump, which has a radio frequency ID scanner built right in behind the screen of the gas pump. And that sends out a radio wave about 2 feet in front of the pump, activates your transponder, and your transponder identifies itself, activates the pump, debits your account, and you go on with your business. Now, that the one that Mobil Oil is using, Stan, is the same exact rice-sized chip they're injecting into animals. Okay? Now, the
now,
one...
Where are they going to have that? Where's that chip going to be? Is that going to be on a keychain, too?
Well, yeah, it already is.
I see.
And they're going nationwide on it right now, and you can find this on the Internet. So just look up Mobil Oil Speed Pass and Shell Oil Easy Pay.
So that's going to make it so much more convenient for us, isn't it?
Oh, but the problem is... Now here's what I'm trying to tell you is Shell's using a very good quality battery-powered chip from Micron Corporation
right.
in Boise, Idaho, and those people are really swift. They have some of the most advanced radio frequency ID technology chips in the world. However, they're battery-powered. Now, the problem with that is about 3 years down the road, your battery wears out. And another problem with that is the chips have to be larger because they have to hold this battery. So, you see, Mobil's going to win out because it's the same one being injected into animals that requires no battery. It's passively powered by radio wave energy.
I was at the airport recently and got picked up by this van, and the fellow told me that every time he sometimes he'd go around a couple of times around the airport to pick up more customers, but every time he did that, the airport surveillance would... pick up the knowledge that his truck had passed there.
Wow.
And they were actually screening something on the top of his truck, and then they'd bill him an extra dollar. So even though he might pick up another customer for $10, it would cost him another dollar. At the end of the month, he got the bill from the airport every time he went past that monitor. He didn't even know where the monitor was, but the monitor knew where he was. And you know, the technology that they have now, for if they can identify those trucks, they can identify our cars, and
yeah.
Of course, as Terry will tell us, many of the cars, Cadillacs, many of the others, have these transponders in it, so they can just know exactly where you are. In fact, the cellular telephones can tell exactly where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And you go from California into Oregon, change from one city to another, and sometimes the phone will ring and it says, "Welcome to Oregon," or at least I know it happens as you go from some states. With certain telephone services.
Mm.
That telephone is not your contact with the world. It's the world watching you are in a national security agency, the Lucifer's own agency, watching the American.
Right.
Yes, Justin.
Yes.
Well, since you're talking, I've heard of some kind of device or something that can stop an engine in a car.
Okay, let's ask Terry about that.
Okay.
Let's tell Jed about the engine. Can they actually turn off your car if they want to?
Oh, you betcha. Now, before we get into that, let me say this fuel pump deal again.
Okay.
Is going to present a problem. In fact, it already is, and they already realize it. See, if you loan somebody your keychain with that transponder, hey, they're able to get a free ride nationwide. If they steal it from you, they don't have to identify themselves at the pump. All they have to do is wave your transponder keychain over the pump screen and turn on your fuel, and they're off and running.
Yeah, but the trouble is that if you report them, then they'll know exactly where that car was.
Well, that's true, but...
It's sort of like using a stolen credit card. That's the quickest way to be identified.
Well, but here's the major problem that's going to have to be resolved with a chip in the hand.
Right.
You see, what we need, what they're going to tell us they need, is positive identification. Now, isn't it coincidental that they're already setting up the system to read the same rice-sized transponder radio frequency chip they're injecting into animals, and they're putting in body parts?
Oh, and you're putting them into breast implants. I thought that was fascinating. So that they're going to be able to screen all these ladies with the well-endowed ladies.
Yes, but I say I cover this in my book, and I I broke this information out nearly 2 years ago before anybody had even heard of this, and now a lot of people are beginning to hear about body parts identification, artificial prosthetic devices being identified under the Safe Medical Devices Registration Act with radio frequency ID chips, the same rice-sized chips they're putting into dogs. Now, here's the problem, folks. All these things about theft and lack of identity are going to be resolved by simply injecting the chip under the skin of the right hand. Then you just go up to your mobile oil speed pass pump, put your hand on the scanner, and they know that chip belongs to you because it's under your skin.
I think that's really so fascinating that this ties into the Rockefeller interest. In fact,
yes.
Of course, anybody who wants to know who's funding a lot of this Luciferian activity, you only need to go down to your local library, our local bookstore, cult bookstore, and get a copy of Barbara Marx Hubbard's book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation. Open it, the first few pages, and see that notation that says this book is financed by or is subsidized by the Lawrence Rockefeller Trust Fund, etc. So we see the interlock between the Rockefeller, Lawrence Rockefeller interests and the, frankly, Lucifer, because the book is frankly Luciferian. It was actually channeled to her by a demonic spirit. And that's the one where in the original text she talks about a quarter of the world having to be finished off or killed, but that's not your responsibility, that's ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse.
Right. Now, quickly, let me answer this lady's question regarding burning out your ignition with the new IVHS system that's coming. In other words, the Intelligent Transportation Highway System. They are designing, it's not yet fully in place. Their goal is to have done it by 2000. In fact, the program name that all these former defense companies have converted defense technology into, this new IVHS, Intelligent Vehicle Highway, Intelligent Transportation System, their goal is to do it by 2000. So they've actually named this program for a new smart road system. They call it Mobility 2000. In other words, they want this whole thing in place by 2000. I'm not sure if they're going to make it, but they're working hard.
Well, now, how does this actually work?
Now, I'm going to have to be quick, because how much time do we have left?
Well, we've got about 15 minutes in this,
okay.
13 minutes in this segment, then we've got the next hour, if you can stay with us. We've got plenty of time.
Oh, okay.
That's why I love the evening program, because we can really explore these things in detail.
Good. Okay, I didn't realize we were going into a second hour, so that's a blessing. So quickly, let me describe this system that's coming. It's called EMP, Stan. It's called EMP, which means essentially an electrical energy that will burn out the chips in your car's ignition from a satellite and from road things that are installed in the freeways. Okay? So electromagnetic pulse is what EMP means. And that's very powerful energy that's broadcast either from a satellite with a nuclear explosion or from a local area such as a device that's planted or embedded in the freeway or the roads over which people travel. Now, when this new IVHS, or ITS, which is something they're calling it now, Intelligent Transportation System, ITS, when this thing is fully in place, maybe or maybe not, it will be in place by 2000. We're not sure yet, but if they reach their goal and have it all in place by the year 2000, that means everyone is on a major artery, the major freeways, will be terminable, if you will, if that's even a word. But their ignitions are all designed with silicon chips.
Now, what is the potential justification for this?
Oh, it's real simple. Think about it for a moment. I'm an ex-policeman from Los Angeles, right? A retired Los Angeles County Deputy Sheriff, and I spent a number of years in a patrol car chasing crooks. Now, I've been in pursuits at 100 miles an hour. I would have loved the concept that they're trying to convey with this EMP technology. I would have loved the ability to call my headquarters and say, listen, I'm chasing this car with license plate number so-and-so. Would you please identify its transponder that was placed in it at the factory and verify that this guy is it, and then terminate his ignition so his car dies?
Okay, now that would just be for one car. It wouldn't be for all cars.
They can do it to anything they choose to do it. It can be one, or it can be every one that passes by the EMP device that's implanted in the road.
Terry, could this at all be why we have a smog check, too, to try to get the older cars off the road?
Yes, exactly. In fact, their goal is to crush every vehicle that's 1989 or older.
That sounds like these people are downright diabolical.
That's one of Satan's names, Diablos.
Okay, fine. Well, I think that's really fascinating. Our telephone number, 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you're out there in the listening audience and want to get in a call to Terry Cook before we come to the halfway point in our evening. But, that thought just crossed my mind. You know, they're just so intent upon getting most of the older cars off the road right now. And the smog check, too. And, it's almost like there's some master designer or master plan out there all aimed at controlling every single human being.
That's true. Well, ultimately, you're going to have a chip in your hand, and the freeway gate won't open on the on-ramp unless you first identify your hand, your body parts, yourself, as the driver of the vehicle, which has already identified itself via transponder communication with the freeway computers. So they'll know exactly who's driving the car, okay, when he got on, how fast you're going, where you are at any given real-time moment, and then if you're a fundamentalist Christian and you don't like the New World Order, they can shut down your ignition system by simply discharging an EMP device and burning out your ignition. Your car just comes to a stop.
I thought that was so fascinating in one of the articles you sent me. It talked about how you'd be able to monitor where on the freeway your wife was, and you'd even be able to lock and unlock the doors to her car electronically from your home.
By satellite. Unreal.
It really is, but the whole concept, even the Internet itself, is really just so amazing, that I can sit in my home, or I can even sit here in the afternoons in our studio, and we can talk to the whole world on the satellite, on the web, on shortwave, and, of course, the good people in the Monterey Bay area as well, and here along the West Coast. But the technology, of course, we have to use as long as we can, but I can see the day coming when those people who will establish the Luciferian dictatorship will cut off any access to the general population, because the last thing they want is for people to know that there's something wrong out there. They want everybody fat and happy with and that's the reason I was sure that the stock market was not going to go through the floor, is because right now they want people fat and happy, and people get concerned when the stock market's dropping, and they feel good about themselves the market is going up.
But indeed, there is a planned crash coming, and do you want to know when it's going to happen, Stan?
I'd like your I have no question it's going to come, but I don't think it's right now. When's it going to happen?
I agree, it's not right now, but here's how we can understand this thing. Do we have a few minutes before
sure,
the break?
Right.
Okay. What month did the 1987 Black Monday crash in?
October, as I remember.
October.
Right.
What month was it in which the 1929 crash our folks lived through? When did that occur? What month?
Well, I'm not sure whether it was...
October.
Okay.
When did the Bolsheviks have their revolution in 1917? October. When do the communists say they will have conquered America after they first put us to sleep and disarmed us? October of 2000. When does the federal fiscal year begin each year? October. Now,
When do you think the crash is going to get?
Okay, I'm trying to tell you.
I know you're talking about October.
And
the year 2000 or 2001?
Well, I'm getting to that. Let me lay a foundation. Do that other information on Bill Clinton's Millennium Program.
Oh, yes, that's right.
We'll get to that next hour.
Right. Okay, fine.
Because they're planning on celebrating the New World Order beginning in the year 2001.
Right.
They don't actually say that, but that's what the Millennium Program is all about. Celebrating the beginning of the new millennium and the ushering out of the old under Christ. So they're going to party for a whole year from December 31st, 1999 through the beginning of 2001.
And, of course, this is the astrological changing from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius, this wonderful new age, the new age we're moving into. In fact, it's very interesting that for many years the Masonic magazine was called the New Age magazine.
Right.
Now they've renamed it because we have another new age movement out here, another occultic organization and movement. But I think maybe for decades and decades, probably most of this century, the Masonic magazine was known as the New Age. Of course, they're all working towards the same goal, whether it's the Masons, Rosicrucians, New Agers, Theosophists, Wiccans, the Satanists.
Or the Skull and Bones, Brotherhood of Death, or the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, you name it, they're all working for Lucifer.
And why don't you then let our listeners know what you believe is the time for the great economic crash that will depress the American people. There will be certainly people without monetary supply. Everybody's going to be looking to the government for a solution. In fact, they'll give up their freedom to maintain their religious, pardon me, their prosperity.
Right. Well, I'm not a prophet. And what I'm doing is I'm giving you an estimate of when I think this thing is going to happen. So I want you to know, folks, I do not set dates. I never have, and I never will. But if you want a good degree of insight into when this thing may approximately happen, then let's review it in this sense. The goal for the Luciferians is to have installed the Satanic New World Order by the end of 2000. You see, in other words, January of 2001. You see, there's a calendar error that they say makes the new turn of the century event appropriate in 2001, January of 2001. I faxed that material to you, Stan, and in a moment perhaps you can read that from Clinton's White House webpage Millennium Program. They actually explain the calendar error and why the year 2000 doesn't actually begin the turn of the millennium or the next 1,000 years. They say it's actually 2001. But before you read that, Stan, let me explain. If we look at the satanic holidays during which the devil's people over the last few generations have done things, they usually do it during the second most evil satanic holiday, and that's Halloween, where they celebrate the devil's birthday. Okay? Now, they also celebrate May Day, too. And remember, as kids, Stan, we used to celebrate May Day without even knowing what we were celebrating.
Sure.
When I was in elementary school, we celebrated May Day, and I said, "What is May Day?" And no one knew. They said, "Well, it's just the beginning of spring or something, you know." But so we have been taught to celebrate May Day, which is one of actually the most evil satanic holiday of the year, the second most evil satanic holiday, and yet really the foremost most evil one, even though it's the second, is Halloween.
And I think it's so significant that May Day is the day that the communists celebrate. That's their annual holiday. That's when they have the big marches through Moscow and through Red Square and show off all their missiles. It's also the day that Adam Weishaupt created the Illuminati, which is, of course, a satanic organization, a manifestation of the ancient mysteries. In fact, Weishaupt himself was deeply steeped in the mysteries. Well, let me read here what you have. This comes from the White House, the Millennial Clock. Time remaining until the year 2000, the Millennial Program kickoff. And, of course, this comes right from the White House, from the web development team. And you can actually get the... Did you get this off the White House?
Uh-huh. All you have to do is punch into your browser, punch in White House, and it'll come up to the White House homepage, their website, and then there'll be a variety of things you can choose from. And choose the Millennium Program.
Okay. According to the United States Naval Observatory, the nation's official timekeeper, the end of the second millennium and the beginning of the third will be reached on January 1st, 2001. This date is based on a calendar created in Rome in 526 Anno Domini, that's AD, now recognized globally. Rather than starting with the year zero, the calendar begins with the date January 1st, 1 AD. Consequently, the next millennium is not officially reached until January 1st, 2001. Despite this fact, much of the world is planning to celebrate on December 31st, 1999, when the calendar flips to the year 2000. During the millennial year, that is January 1st, 2000 to January 1st, 2001, the White House will lead a national millennial program that will engage Americans in a wide variety of activities and initiatives designed to highlight our heritage and celebrate our creativity. Mm-hmm. Visit this countdown clock to see the time remaining to the year's start.
Mm-hmm. And that clock is a real-time clock, actually counting down the seconds till the turn of the millennium, January of 2001. Now, let's explain why this has some meaning here, and how we can all put the stock market crash together, the beginning of the Satanic New World Order together, and everything else together. I'm trying to piece this all together for us, and you were absolutely correct about Adam Weishaupt beginning the Illuminati and creating that symbol that's on the back of our dollar bill. On the back of every dollar bill is that symbol that this Satanist Adam Weishaupt created on May 1 of 1776 to announce the beginning of the Satanic New World Order. Well over 200 years ago, they started formulating the final plans to bring this thing to fruition by the year 2001. You see, and there's a reason that's so significant, folks, because if you study Bible chronology, you'll soon learn that from, of course, the time you just explained, Stan, from 1 AD till the present is about 2,000 years, which is defined as a biblical age, okay, a dispensation. But if you look even further back, you'll find that all biblical history goes back 4,000 B.C., okay, or approximately 4,000 B.C. So if we add 4,000 years from Adam and Eve all the way up to Christ's first coming, which is 0 years, okay, and then we add 2,000 years after Christ's coming, which is the year 2001, we get a total of 6,000 years from Adam and Eve, plus or minus about 4 or 7 years that were lost with various calendar conversions and changes over the years. In other words, then Bible chronologists aren't really sure if 2007 is the end of 6,000 years from Adam, or if it's 2004, or whatever. Now, also, Satan has a calendar in Freemasonry that few people know about, and they call their calendar AL. Now, they count it appropriately from the Garden of Eden, which was year one, AL. Now, on the Masonic calendar, stand, you know, Satan's kept perfect time without changing over the years, like many of our calendars have. And so Satan has, on his calendar right now, instead of 1998 that's coming up here very shortly, I mean, this year is a history, okay? Satan's calendar, as soon as we turn to January here, and as soon as we go into the new year, Satan's calendar will reflect that we're 5,998 years from AL, in other words, from the year of light in the Garden of Eden, where Lucifer deceived Adam and Eve. So the Masonic calendar is 5,998 years AL in the year of Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. In other words, the Masonic calendar ends precisely 6,000 years in the year 2001 from Adam and Eve, you see? Now, here's the whole bottom line here, folks. Scripture says, we dispensationalists, we fundamentalists believe that there's indicated in the Bible that a final seven-year period will be called the tribulation period, during which the Antichrist will lead the world, leading to Armageddon. Now, if that's correct, and most fundamentalists agree that there will be a final seven-year period under the devil that will end all dispensations and begin or inaugurate the thousand-year millennium, which is defined in God's language as in 2 Thessalonians, let's see, what is it? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And in Psalms 90, verse 4, it says that a day to God is equal to a thousand of our years. And so, can you understand this now? Why the Lord has promised us a millennium, which is a thousand years? Because that's one day to God after 6,000 years of work from Adam and Eve. It's our day off. It's the Sabbath. So, a day to the Lord is equal to a thousand of our years. So, from Adam and Eve until the year 2001, we have 6 days or 6,000 years. And God says, okay, the Sabbath is holy and no one will work. In other words, that's the beginning of the millennium with Christ after he returns to stop Armageddon. Now, the bottom line is simply this, I think, and I'm just guessing, and I'm certainly not a prophet, so just take it with a grain of salt, maybe a grain of aspirin if I'm wrong, okay? But here's what I think, Stan, based on all this research and having read over 350 books and having studied this for 8 years now, and having studied over 100 satanic books so I can gain some insight into their numerology, I believe that it's quite possible that the seven-year tribulation period under the devil begins, or may begin, in the year 2001, and this is why all these Luciferians are focusing on it as the beginning of the Satanic New World Order. In other words, it's quite possible that the seven-year period known as the tribulation period might begin in 2001 and end in 2007.
Okay, well, it's going to be fascinating. These are fascinating times to live in, and I think that's, I have to give a little thought, but it's fascinating to speculate. Certainly, we are approaching a crisis, and whether there's going to be a market crash, whether there's going to be a war in the Near East, whether all of these things are going to come to pass, I don't know what it is. Maybe there's going to be a lot of domestic terrorism here, but I can see that this utopian make-believe world that we live in could very soon be coming to an end.
Now, so a little more insight. Now that we have this 6,000-year plan, under our belt, the Luciferians say they must create satanic disorder in order to make the world realize it needs a new world order.
You mean an order out of chaos?
Ordo ab chao is the Latin phrase you just said. And that means order from chaos. So
that actually is one of the Masonic slogans, one of their great sayings. They intend to create the chaos so they can bring order out of it.
One of the most important things they discuss in all their books is the fact that the old world economic order needs to be exterminated so that we can bring in a new world economic order. You see, there are three plans. A new world religion called the New Age movement that makes everybody worship the Antichrist, fools everybody into thinking, making them think he's the second coming of Christ rather than the devil himself. Okay, so there's a New Age religion, which is the new religious order that'll occur during the year 2001. Then there's the new world economic order, a whole new cashless society, if you will.
Do you think that's the new spirituality that Gorbachev keeps talking about?
Exactly.
He wants a new world economic order, a new world order, and a new world spirituality. And that's a recurrent theme at all of the State of the World conferences he puts on.
Right, and then we have the third aspect of it, which is what they call the new world order, which is world government through the United Nations, and the United Nations is communist. And the new world order is global communism, and the devil created it through Marx, and Nazism through Hitler. So the devil himself, the Antichrist, will be leading global communism repackaged so that it doesn't use the term communism and frighten people. Global democracy, Sam.
Or Luciferian. It's going to be a world Luciferian government. And, whether we call it communism or socialism or humanism, but it is basically Luciferian in its makeup.
Now, here's the bottom line on the stock market crash. They need about a year or a maximum of 2 years in which to create total chaos and total economic collapse so they can bring all this stuff to fruition by 2001. Now, the communists have said in secret KGB documents, actually they're not so secret, Anatoly Golitsyn in Perestroika Deception, in his book Perestroika Deception, conveys them quite clearly. And he said it's the goal of the communists to have a second October Revolution for the conquest of the world under world communism. And he says it's the goal of the communists to have accomplished that by October of 2000. And so what I think we might interpret from all of this insight now is we might interpret that probably October of 1998 or at the very latest October of 1999, the stock market will crash in a planned fashion. And then, during that chaos that will ensue, the communists actually want the chaos to occur over a year's period of time so that they can plan to invade and conquer America. And that way, America and its former Christian state will be eliminated and subjugated to the new world satanic order of global communism. So I think now, folks, that based on all that research and insight that the Lord's given me, you can probably plan on a real bottom hole, black hole depression beginning with a stock market crash either October of 98 or 99. I'm just guessing. I'm not getting dates. But if you want to plan, this has just been black money, 5-6 point loss, and everything will be okay. They're crying wolf, standard. They're getting everybody to the point where they say, oh, come on, in 87 it crashed and it went back up. Last year it crashed and it went back up, and 29 it crashed for a few years and went back up, and everything's just fine. Let's get in it with everything we have. Another reason I think it's going to be another year or so is Clinton is trying to put all the Social Security trust fund monies into the stock market to reap this glorious reward, from all the high interest you're gaining off the stock market. So he hasn't done that yet. And he's still working to getting the whole Social Security system into the stock market. Now, when he's done that, think about that, folks. and the planned crash comes, everybody will be destitute. All the old folks and all the retirees and the disabled people will be totally on the street without any benefits whatsoever until they create a new world economic order. And then people will be totally dependent upon the Messiah, the U.S. government, for help, food stamps, and so on in the soup lines that are going to be coming shortly. So you see, this is a way to get everybody totally dependent upon the government. But first, they'll have to take their national ID card because, you know, you won't be able to defraud that old government out of any extra benefits you may want to cheat him out of. Oh, Uncle Bill is not going to allow that. So they're going to have this national ID card called the Mark that you'll have to take first. It'll be a Mark card, a smart card with all your government bennies on it, you know, digitally subtractable from your card. And, of course, a couple of years down the road, that Mark card can be lost or stolen. And when the Antichrist comes to power, they'll just say, take the mark in the right hand. And, of course, it'll be a transplant chip, in my vision. So, now, folks, with all that insight, get ready. Because the time is at hand, and America is so brain dead and so asleep and so anesthetized. And it's all planned that we be that way. I just finished researching, Stan, the fact that only right now, only 10 major conglomerate corporations own all of the secular media, magazines, newspapers, television stations, and everything. And by the year 2000, that will have been reduced to 6 major conglomerate corporations, including Disneyland, that own all the television stations, radio stations, Gannett newspapers, and everything in the media will be owned only by 6 corporations, all essentially controlled by the Illuminati.
Well, it makes me feel good to know that Disney is going to be one of those. And I'm sure old Walt must be just rolling over in his grave to see what's really happened to the organization that he created, which really did epitomize the spirit of America and wholesomeness and goodness and right and wrong, and certainly did not have all the occult other tones of the current Disney productions.
Exactly. Now, here's the bottom line I learned while I was investigating my Big Brother NSA book, Stan. Not only is the National Security Agency the beast computer system, in my opinion, because it is the most phenomenal, mind-boggling computer database facility on the planet. Everything, either directly or indirectly, is tied into the National Security Agency at Fort Meade, Maryland, which is almost exactly between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. on the East Coast. Everything, even TRW, goes right into the NSA. Now, check this out. I tried to track down who was trying to give us a national ID card in California before I left, and I discovered that the state of California Department of Motor Vehicles was getting its money from the FBI. And I thought to myself, why is the FBI giving the state of California monies with which to create a new ID system? Well, then I started investigating the whole ID system plan, and I learned that each state, each Department of Motor Vehicles, and each state is getting grants from the FBI for a whole new database system for digital identification and advanced electronic ID cards, which we're now calling our driver's licenses. You probably just got yours, Stan.
Well, I've had mine for some time. I don't know when mine expires, but, you know, you could just see how that would come about.
Okay, so it's being orchestrated very subtly, very quietly. Most people will never know it. It's being orchestrated by the feds. Now, I thought to myself, who's behind that money, and who's behind the FBI's program called the NCIC 2000? There we go with 2000 again. They want everybody identified digitally in their databases by 2000. Each state is getting FBI funds to accomplish that by 2000. They must comply.
Okay? In other words, the driver's license will become a smart card or a smart identification card.
Yes, and New Jersey is now prototyping the new driver's license, which has all the information yours has on it, Stan, but also has a chip in it, which makes it smart. Okay, and New Jersey is prototyping that right now, and they're already talking about making it a bank card, an ATM card, a driver's license, and an everything card. So essentially, the federal government is orchestrating each DMV program to give us a de facto state ID card, which is called a driver's license. That's really what it is. It's really a national ID card, but a state ID card that they're calling a driver's license right now, so that we won't get too suspicious. Now, I tracked the money from the FBI to guess where. Who's giving the FBI the money?
National Security Agency.
The National Security
NSA,
Agency.
NSA, right, of course.
Now, it's as blatant as this, Stan. You're on the internet, right? Okay, write this name down and punch it into your browser. Write down, you don't even need NSA. All you need is the terms Biometric Consortium. And for all you folks out there who are listening tonight who are connected to the internet, punch in this, these two words, biometrics, Biometrics Consortium. Enter it into your browser, Biometrics Consortium, and guess where you end up, Brother Stan? Right at the National Security Agency. And the Biometrics Consortium is funded, controlled, and owned and located at the NSA at Fort Meade, Maryland, and they are funding the entire effort to give us national ID cards through the DMVs, through the FBI, university studies on biometrics, anything you can name. They're behind the entire national ID program, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
And, of course, the NSA is certainly one of the most secret organizations in the entire nation. In fact, that's one you're told you're just not supposed to talk about. Now, can you find the direct links of NSA into the occult?
Absolutely. But before we get into that, I faxed you some material, Stan, and if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that material that I faxed you, two pages, is called The Update on the U.S. Government's Biometrics Consortium. And if you'll just share a couple of paragraphs of that charter that allows the NSA to virtually orchestrate and fund all national ID efforts, we need to know, and then we'll get into why they're heavily into the occult.
All right, let's hope that we can find that here. Update Biometric Consortium Abstract. Okay, I've got one page here.
Should be two
and
pages.
And let's see. Okay, I've got two pages, and let's start here. Abstract.
This is a download, Stan, right from their webpage site at the NSA in Fort Meade, Maryland.
Okay, Lisa A. Elia and Dr. Joseph P. Campbell, Jr., Biometric Consortium. Abstract. This talk is an update on the Biometric Consortium's activities since the previous Card Tech Secure Tech Conference. The Biometric Consortium held its first meeting in October of 1992.
What month?
October of 1992.
Aha, you see, look, these Satanists and these Luciferians do everything according to numerology. Every time I find they do something, it's October, brother.
Under the chairmanship of Dr. Benacasa, and the consortium has been meeting one or two times per year to provide among the government, industry, and academia. Now, in 1994, Dr. Campbell and Ms. Elia took over as chair of the Biometric Consortium's charter. The establishment of a national biometric test and evaluation laboratory is imminent. The Biometric Consortium's next meeting is in June 11th, 12th, 1996 at San Jose State University, and the Biometric Consortium's worldwide page has become a significant resource for biometric information on the Internet.
Now, read the next few lines very slowly, so that we can see that the Biometric Consortium is behind it all.
The Biometric Consortium's charter was formally approved on December 7th, 1995. I wondered about that December 7th number myself, the attack on America,
The
Facilities Protection Committee, a committee that reports to the Security Policy Board through the Security Policy Forum. Now, the Security Policy Board was established by Presidential Decision Directive, NSC 29, on September 16, 1994, for the coordination, formulation, evaluation, and oversight of U.S. national security policy. Let me read that again. For the coordination, formulation, evaluation, and oversight of U.S. national security policy. The Security Policy Board reports to the Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, who is currently Mr. Anthony Lake. The following is the text of the Biometric Consortium's charter, as approved by the Facilities Protection Committee.
Now, this next paragraph tells it all, Stan, and it'll take a couple of minutes to get through this, but if people will understand this is the result of 2 years of research, I can't tell you. I spent $25,000 investigating what we're about to learn right now. The people who are listening to this program will know who the demons are behind this whole effort to give us a national ID card, and the same demons that are putting everything on us in their databases and connecting all the other databases around the world into one big octopus of Luciferian surveillance and control. So go ahead and read that, Stan.
The Biometric Consortium, hereafter referred to as the Consortium, is chartered by the National Security Policy Board through the Facilities Protection Committee. Since 1992, a working group known as the Biometric Consortium has been meeting to share information and advice and to serve as a focal point for coordinating and developing advanced biometric processing.
Uh-oh, what did we hear there? They are the focal point for coordinating all of this stuff to identify us, processing, testing, evaluations within the U.S. government. Go on.
The consortium is presently comprised of a representative from six executive departments of the United States government and each of the military services.
Oh, there you go. The consortium is who then? It's even military.
Right. The goal of the consortium is to develop an independent assessment facility to evaluate and test evolving biometric devices. Now, for the listener, biometric devices are means of bio, that's living, metric, measure, devices. These are measures, things are really of identifying people, as far as I can tell.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But more, just a little bit more than that, Stan, you're absolutely right. It's an automated means of computerized identification with biometrics, yes.
The National Security Agency initiated the formation of the consortium as part of its information systems mission, with the goal to increase the availability of biometric authentication and identification to meet the needs of the Department of Defense and other federal agencies. Authentication and identification of people. They don't say of people, but that's what it's all about. Biometric authentication and identification to meet the needs of the Department of Defense and other federal agencies.
All other federal agencies. All.
Towards the goal, or towards that goal, the NSA, that's the National Security Agency.
Now listen to this. Read it very, very, read every word. Is it? The NSA has what?
Invested personal resources and funds
and
to
what?
Provide.
And money?
To provide organizational and administrative support to the consortium. The consortium has been and continues to be the U.S. government's primary source of technical information for biometric consideration.
Okay, they just admitted that they're behind it all with money, personnel, training, expertise. They're behind it all. There it is, right there. That's an admission that they're the ones orchestrating the whole national ID effort. Now go on.
Because of the U.S. government's primary source of technical information for biometric considerations, government needs, it has become evident that the consortium needs to be established by the National Security Policy Board to ensure a consistent, coordinated U.S. government approach to biometric authentication and identification.
Here we go.
The consortium will serve as a government focal point for research, development, test, evaluation, and application of biometric-based personal identification. Personal identification. Authentication technology. The consortium will encourage the use and acceptance of biometric technology in areas of critical need and also concern itself with maximizing performance, minimizing cost, and avoiding duplication of efforts within the government community. The consortium will coordinate technological concerns and issues of performance and efficiency within the government in order to serve the best interests of the taxpayer.
You can stop there. You want to vomit? The best interests of the taxpayers.
Well, that means we'll all be identified by Big Brother. They'll know where we are, what we're doing. This, of course, is the path to dictatorship.
Yes. Now, Stan, you have in your hands there the whole secret to understanding this national ID thing. And now they're not only storing every bit of thing on us and controlling all the satellites that watch us, but they're orchestrating the whole national ID effort, and they're making sure that they're the focal point so that everybody gets it right and there's no duplication and everybody has the same standards that go right through the National Security Agency, Big Brother's NSA.
Amen. Well, it's amazing. You've certainly done a great job getting that information. Did you get that off the web? Where did you get that?
Right off the web. Their webpage site is printed right at the top of the page there. Look, www.vitro.bloomington.in.us.8080.
Okay, and for our listeners, if you want to get any of this information, we have it available, or you can get it through Terry. He's done a tremendous job getting this. You need actually to hold this in your hand and to look at it and to read it and say, my God, they're talking about biometric identification of every living human being. And of course, this all ties in satellite. It ties into all of these other vehicles they have for us. This is it. Everybody will be identified in the new coming society where you will neither buy or sell. Just you wear the mark of the beast or known by the number of his name.
I'm glad you said that, Stan. The NSA is directly participating in and orchestrating the National Internet Electronic Commerce Program, and IBM and NSA worked together initially on such an electronic commerce program called Lucifer Project.
The Lucifer Project?
Yes, sir. It'll be in my book. The Lucifer Project.
And that's actually what they call it, is the Lucifer Project. Does Lucent technology fit into this at all?
Well, indirectly, but not directly. It was actually a banking ATM program. It was sold to Lloyd's of London, and it was first named the Demon Cipher, and then they called it Lucifer Cipher. Lucifer Cipher for electronic commerce, and IBM and NSA did it right from the very beginning. And now IBM, I explain all this in my book, it's mind-boggling. IBM is on the forefront to revolutionize the Internet, and they want everybody to have $300 hard disk-less computer that'll access the Internet first by sticking your biometric smart ID card into it that the NSA is creating. So they're working hand in hand, and then Lucent Technologies is out there helping them develop this thing even better, because they're going to use the Inferno operating system so that all computers can talk to one another conveniently without any obstacles.
The devil's got a, you know, he's got a real sense of humor. He really does. And he puts these things out, it's so obvious. I mean, every time you pull out a dollar bill,
yes, sir,
that's his symbol on the back of the dollar bill. That eye is the eye of Lucifer. It is an occult symbol that is old as history itself, going back 6,000 years. This whole thing is occultic. It's on the back of the Great Seal of the United States. It's on the back of the dollar bill. When do you think the American people are going to wake up, or will they ever wake up?
Scripture says very few will.
Well, it's our job to try to reach that few that will, and perhaps we can bring them to salvation and at least save their souls. Not their lives, but at least their souls. And that is what Radio Liberty is really all about.
Radio Liberty is talking to the elect of God right now. The few people that are out there listening, our sisters and our brothers and the fine people who have called in, who will be calling in on future programs, they're the elect, whether they're Catholics or wherever, whatever denomination. You know, I grew up in a Baptist family, and now I'm non-denominational. But the point is, the people who understand this thing are the elect of God. Read 2 Thessalonians 2, because it says that only the elect will not be deceived regarding the devil's lies and his new world order. Only the elect. The rest of the world will take the mark, worship the devil, who's going to actually claim he's the second coming of Christ. He's going to perform signs, miracles, and wonders that would deceive, if it were possible, the very elect of God. He's going to call down fire from heaven. He's going to create peace out of chaos. And the whole world will look after him, wonder after him, and worship him as God. Take the mark of the beast in their right hand or forehead and go to hell and burn forever. All of the world will do that except the elect of God.
Well, Terry, you must be going around the country telling this story on other programs. What sort of response do you get? Do most of the hosts understand what you're really talking about, or are some of them skeptical?
Well, the Christian hosts generally do, of course, and that's why they're in this business. But I talk to many secular hosts. I've probably done 400 radio shows over the past few years, Stan. You were one of my first, by the way, back in 92 or 93.
Right.
I think you were my 10th or 11th radio show. But I was just interviewed, by the way. You ever watch this television program called Strange Universe, Stan? Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Look in your TV guide down there. I'm not sure when it's broadcast in your area, but I was just interviewed by Hollywood Television called Strange Universe program. It's a nightly TV news magazine, if you will. And every night they have a program, and in Oregon here it comes on at midnight on Channel 12. I call it 12 at 12. Next week, I will be on one night next week, and I haven't been told the exact date yet, but they flew a crew up here from Los Angeles and interviewed me on the New World Order and microchip implants and that sort of thing for the Strange Universe television show. So the folks that are listening can just look up on their TV guide, Strange Universe, and I'm not sure which night next week it will be broadcast, but it'll be one night next week. And they're really excited about all this stuff, because they don't really understand it that well. And I just did another television program with another Hollywood secular outfit called Prophecy, and that'll be on A&E in about 2 or 3 months. So there's a lot of interest in prophecies, and there is a lot of interest in this year 2000 turnover. But the secular people really don't understand it, and many of them that interviewed me from this Hollywood crew were heavily into Nostradamus, you know, and the occult, and Edgar Casey.
Oh, sure, well.
And that seems to be more significant to those people who really aren't saved and believe in Jesus. But we true Christians, we fundamentalists, we who are the elect, we really see through this deception, and we understand it. And the Lord is using us to hopefully educate the few that want to know.
Okay, let me just ask Phil on the line. Are we supposed to take line one? Carl wants to know about information on Terry Cook. Yes, we're going to go to line one here. Okay, hi, who do we have?
This is Ron.
Hi, Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I got in late in your program, and so I didn't catch the name of Terry Cook's book.
Well, Terry actually has a number of books. He has the Mark of the New World. Is it Mark of the New World Order, the book?
The Mark of the New World Order, Ron, is the only one I have presently available in Christian bookstores, or you can get it directly from me. Actually, you can order it from B. Dalton or any bookstore.
We have a Christian bookstore right here.
Sure, we can get that. But Terry will give his telephone number here again, or I can give that for him.
Well, I got the phone number.
Okay, fine. Well, you can order it directly from him. And it's an excellent book. We read it in its original form, what it was still,
150 pages.
Right. So it really gives you a good overview of this whole idea of the technology that's there to insert a mark or at least a little transistor into every one of us.
Ron, between now and next summer, if we're still around and Lord willing, I plan on having 4 to 5 new additional books out, as well as the existing one, Mark of the New World Order. And the next one that'll be out is the one we were just discussing called Big Brother NSA and His Little Brothers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that, because that takes it into the National Security Agency, and we'll get back on as soon as that's available.
Okay, now, the cook is just like a cook?
Yeah, yes. C-O-O-K with no E. Everybody wants to put an E on it and make me a cookie, Ron, and I'm
just
a cookie.
That's why I asked.
And, of course, Ron, we've had Terry on many, many times, and he's reliable, he's solid, you can trust what he says, and he can document it all.
I already figured that out.
Okay,
thank
anything
you,
else?
No, that's it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
let's go to line two. Who do we have on line two?
Mark Foster.
Okay, Mark, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I've got three things I'd like to have you guys comment on.
Get to it.
One of them is researchers in today's Mercury paper connect computer chips to brain cells. Have you read about that one?
Yeah, they're working on biochip neuron cells. And, Mark, the Air Force, are you on the Internet?
Thank you. No.
Well, you know, something very interesting, you get a chance in this line of thought here, punch in the Air Force's new futuristic program called Air Force 2025. In other words, in the year 2025 or 2025, the Air Force is planning on doing just such things, and ARPA is funding the research of biotechnology such as what you just described, Mark. They're
right.
Working on melding together human brain cells with silicon chips and making them even more advanced biochips than the one we're talking about.
So they can be interactive with the computer and control
us. Yes, interactive. And they're talking about, in this Air Force 2025 program, Mark, they're actually talking about, in the future, they'll have the capability to connect a pilot's brain who's been inserted or implanted with a biochip, and they can actually download information right from the computer database into his brain.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to have you guys comment on is last week they were talking about Bill Clinton was getting a new order together to get a computer to have all employers have to register their employees into the computer.
Yeah, that's already law.
And they got a new employee, he'd have to be registered.
That's already law. The ID card for immigration card, Mark, has already passed, and by the year 2000, all employers will have to call the government to get permission to hire people.
Exactly. And third, okay, the crash of the stock market.
Yeah.
Could there be any connection with the Chinese taking over Hong Kong and coming to visit us at the same time?
Yep.
Like maybe the communists are buying into the stock market. They knew that it was going to crash, more like nation-to-nation insider trading.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, the more I study this, as you're beginning to see, everything's interconnected. There isn't anything that isn't connected.
Let me just comment on that. Somebody very, very, very astute today said, you know, it's the most amazing thing. I mean, here we've got one of the most evil men in the world coming to be lauded in Washington, D.C., but with the stock market crash, at least in our local newspaper, there's only about 2-column interest, inches about him. In other words, the stock market crash certainly tended to diffuse a lot of the anger and frustration in the American public about bringing this brutal murderer to the United States. Maybe it's just coincidence, but the more you read and study this, the more you think maybe it isn't coincidence.
Well, I was thinking that it was crashing on purpose to allow the communists to buy in at cheap prices.
Who knows?
A lot of insider trading is done in just that way, Mark, and that's very astute of you. Most people, they're just kind of naive, and they just don't understand that.
But, okay, well, you got a really good program. I'll get off and listen.
Okay, fine.
Thanks, Mark. A lot. Bye.
We're talking about this fact. You were on this program down in Los Angeles. They're going to be shown this next week. And of course, some of these secular people are so fascinated with all this prophecy. And of course, you know, as you say, they're into the Edgar Cayce and into Nostradamus. But they really don't understand that these are cult prophets. These are from the dark side.
Yes. And more so, more often than not these days, people are getting into more occultic visions rather than Christian visions. And, you know, I faxed you one page in this regard, and let's discuss that now that we're on the topic. It's from the San Francisco Chronicle, if you can find that page.
You mean text. About the Kabbalah?
Yeah, now listen, this was just in the San Francisco Chronicle, page E9, Wednesday, October 22, 1997. And so that people will know that I actually faxed this to you, this is documentation. Stan, why don't you again read this for the folks so they'll realize that Madonna, Barbara Streisand, Elizabeth Taylor are now getting into the Jewish Kabbalah of mysticism and even further away from God than they were before.